Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, it's Matt DeWolf. I am the Chief Marketing Officer for the International Car Wash Association, and as always, your host on this adventure called Car Wash the Podcast. This is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and a slightly better human being. At least we hope we can achieve that goal for you. Look, here is what's going down with this episode. This was recorded at the Car Wash Magazine Live Studio in Las Vegas during the Car Wash Show 2023. I think it's full of really great information for you. Friends, I hope you enjoy. This is super exciting. Okay, so we have done this. This is the third time we've done this kind of programming. It's a different way to provide some educational content and to hear from some really, really exceptional people. And so we're going to kick off today with a little bit of a manager conversation. That's one of the things that in this industry is really, really tough to figure out. Everybody needs better managers. Everybody wants to know, how do you develop your team so that you have a good bench and a deep bench to build your business and to grow in a meaningful way? And so we're going to talk about that. And we've got three fantastic managers joining us. We've got Iona Kearney from Speedy Sparkle, John Sproul from Camel Express. And then down at the end, we've got Chad Valle from Metro Express. Welcome to the program, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so first and foremost, we're going to get a little bit of an introduction from each of you all so that we kind of get a sense for your path to the industry. Give me like the 90-second elevator pitch about where you are, what you do.
Okay. My name is Iona Kearney. I am located in Colorado, and I run full-service flex washes. I am the operations manager, and I've been general manager at both of our locations.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, John.
Yeah, again, I'm John Sproul with Camel Express Car Wash. I'm the hiring and training director. We're, of course, in Nashville, Tennessee. So some of you guys have visited us even last year. And we have four, soon to be five, locations. Right in the heart of Nashville.
I'm Chad Valle with Metro Express Car Wash in Boise. We have locations in North Idaho and in the Treasure Valley. I'm a regional manager for them. I oversee four locations and one coming online soon. So I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been through a few companies. I worked for Fast Eddie's Car Wash. It was purchased by Jackson's and then purchased by Metro. So I was in a lot of transactions there.
Okay, so let's talk about that piece a little bit. So we're going to go off script a little bit, friends,
okay,
because I didn't know that part of the story. So this has been a time, obviously, of a lot of acquisition activity, a lot of switching of company names. So I want to know, over that time, as you've gone through that transition for you personally, how have you kind of adapted in that space, and how have you kind of changed kind of with the company, right? Like a new name generally means a little bit of a different culture, and you have to then distill that and push that down to the team. How do you do that?
It's really just having an open mind about the new company, what they bring to the table. It's easy to adapt when you have great leadership, and Metro's done that, done a tremendous job with showing us the vision, giving us the big picture, and then understanding that we're a part of this company, we're not just a number. And so they've really brought us in. Originally, the first company that worked for Fast Eddie was locally owned by one gentleman. It was just one car wash. And then Jackson's purchased them, and I think Jackson's car wash has multiple car washes in Arizona. And then Metro came along and purchased us. And the transitions from each one of them was a lot different. But the one from Jackson's to Metro was an actual car wash company that cared and inspired us. And it was really easy as long as you have an open mind and open heart and willingness to change.
I love that. I love that advice. Okay, so let's get back on the script a little bit. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of skills, right? Like, what are the kind of skills that you've had to develop that make you feel, and maybe you don't feel like you're good managers. We think you're good managers. Your teams think you're good managers. But what would your team say maybe makes you a good manager? I don't know. Let's start with you.
I think patience is so important. Patience, over-communication in everything. You cannot communicate enough about anything that you want to communicate about. And flexibility.
Yeah, the communication one is really important because even when you're tired of saying it, you haven't said it half as much enough. So
right,
you have to say it until you are literally sick of the words that come out of your mouth.
Yes.
John.
Yeah, so I'm also doing a lot of training of managers, and all of our, as most of our teams right over here in the front, they hear me say this all the time. The two main things that I want to try to live, but also we're looking for in our managers is one is consistency. Is I will consistently take a B-level manager or employee any day because I know what to expect every single day, and they know what to expect from me. But if I'm an A-plus one day and a C-minus the next, and they don't know what kind of John are they going to get today, that's where things make it difficult. And then communication. Those are the two biggest things, and what we try to do, and you know how we live that out at our sites is if you're out of sight, you need to be telling your team what you're doing and where you are and when you'll return. So those are the two main things that I try to live out for the people that are being managed by me.
You may be noticing a trend here. We've heard communication twice. So let's see if Shad's got anything different.
I would say coach first, discipline second. That's something that we really preach and really kind of consistently are talking about. Allowing them to make mistakes. They're not failures, but opportunities to learn. We've really adopted that idea in our region. So it's really helped us develop good leaders and letting them be free-spirited and trying to figure it out, but helping them and supporting their decision-making.
So, okay, so talk a little bit more about that coaching piece. How do you make sure that you have that top of mind kind of as you go through the day? Because, right, it can be frustrating when you're like, man, why'd you do it that way? And you want to go and say, you need to do it like this. Instead, what do you do?
I think it's leading with love and having empathy and caring about your people. Build your people to help you build your bottom line. They are people and they're going to make mistakes, and that's just life. Nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. It's not the end all to everything, but it's opportunity to learn from those mistakes. It's a decision that you're making if you constantly make that mistake multiple times.
Right,
it's a conscious decision. You show up late to work every day, that's a conscious decision. So when you make one mistake, it's not a failure, it's an opportunity to learn, and learning from those little small failures and become a better manager, better leader.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about the communication piece too. So I'll come to Iona. I want to talk a little bit about how do you make sure, what are some things that you've done, or maybe some systems you put in place for yourself to make sure that you are communicating all of the things all of the time?
One good example that I have is I just brought on a new general manager who worked at a car wash before at a separate location, and we were doing all the training and everything, and we start talking about scheduling, and he said, oh, scheduling, I hate making a schedule every week, and it takes up so much of my time. And I said, really? Making the schedule is my favorite part of the week, because when I get to make a schedule, I get to touch base with every single one of my team members, and I get to learn what's happening in their lives, right? That communication, the bonding, the building the culture, right? So it's, I can't make it to work on Tuesday. I have an appointment for my baby. Oh, how's your baby, right? And so that's something so small that I don't think managers think about, but can be a huge part of communication. And so taking every little thing that you're doing throughout the day, right? He mentioned when they're on site, if they ever leave site, making sure everyone knows where they're going, when they'll be back, and that over-communication piece with all the small, tiny things that you do throughout the day.
I love that. I love that. John, I want to talk to you about consistency, right? So we've got coaching, communication, and consistency. What are some things that managers can do to make sure that they remain consistent over the course of the days and weeks and months that this business can lean into?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is oftentimes we need to make sure that we're expecting, like, we're showing them that we're not expecting them to be perfect. And same thing with us is like, hey, I'm going to try my best. Like, I'm going to show up on time. If I struggle in this area, I'm going to ask for it. But, and that's one of those things they're like, that's what we're looking for. Same thing, if you're leading someone, it's really hard to go, well, I'm asking you to do this, but you know that last week you saw me not do this. And there's always exceptions. There's not a perfection. And one of the things that helps with consistency is you know that you can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. I know it's really a shocker for my team when I say this, that I'm not perfect. So they only see that side of me. But the times where you make mistakes, what's really important is to call yourself out and say, hey, I know that this is how we're supposed to do it every time, and I made this mistake. And so the times where you can't be consistent, calling yourself out and admitting it, and that's going to have a huge impact on how people, how they respect you. And I honestly tell people this, and I believe the most, is that after you make a mistake or you mess up or you put your foot in your mouth or you hurt someone's feelings, the next, you know, 30 seconds or that time afterwards, is that's when people lose or gain respect for you. And that's, again, another thing about consistency is like, hey, you know what? I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm not consistent all the time. But when I do screw up, I call myself out, and here you go, and please keep me accountable.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you touched on there, John, is expectations, right? And setting expectations, and when you're consistent and you show up every day the same way, your team knows what to expect from you, you know what to expect from your team, and that makes all these conversations so much easier to have, because you have a better sense of where they're coming from on any given day, and they know kind of how to approach you. So again, it leads into that consistency piece.
Yeah, one more little quick thing I wanted to add is something we tell our managers, and we hear back from them a lot, is that oftentimes if they come to us from another car wash space, is they like, we going off expectations is like, here at Camel, like the manager were like, I've worked harder than I've had any other car wash,
yeah,
but I've had a better support system than I've ever had. And so that's another thing, is like not only that consistency of saying, hey, this is, as a manager, you're not doing it by yourself. And that's a big thing we preach, is you're not alone. You're not alone. If you ever try to do it by yourself, that is the number one way to fail.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick, in show of hands in the space here, how many managers do we have in the room? Managers, regional managers. Okay, good. Okay. So, we're about 12 minutes into this 30-minute conversation. We are going to have an opportunity for some questions, but I got to ask all mine first. So that's how this works, friends. Okay, so I want to know a little bit of some of the challenges that you all are facing right now, right? Like, we've talked over the last year or so about the labor market and how that's changing. What does the new kind of group of employees really need from a generational perspective? What are some of the challenges that, and we'll start on the end with Shad, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing?
If we're talking about the labor portion of it, right now, and I don't feel like where we're at in the Treasure Valley, as we've been growing, we haven't been facing too many challenges with employment. But what we've done really well is word of mouth and recruiting through the team members that we already currently have. So we just try to take the employees we have now and have them recommend to us. Like, do you know anybody who's interested? Do you have anybody that's willing to work? And a lot of people won't recommend their friend that's not a very good worker. And I've been lucky, and we've been lucky, to recruit friends and maybe family members sometimes into our Metro family and inviting them in, and hard workers and dedicated. So we're lucky right now in the Treasure Valley, I feel like, in our industry, because we don't have a large challenge of hiring.
Is there anything that you are struggling with that's maybe keeping you up at night?
As a manager,
yeah.
You always are kept up at night.
Well, true.
But it's just not enough time in the day. You know, there's just never enough time. And just being an effective delegator, you know, you got to be better at it. And just letting go of some things that you probably can't control and just letting them go and tackling them the next day. Because if you take them on all the time, every day, every hour, you're just going to bury yourself. And I think time's probably going to be the one challenge you'll always face when you're overseeing multiple locations.
Yeah, one of the hardest things that we see across the industry, and this is like a universal human problem, right? So we are a really great employee. We're so good at what we do. So then we get promoted. And then that job that we got promoted into requires completely different skills from what we were really good at to get us there in the first place. So it's really a complete, like, consistent development of your skills. And part of the thing that I think Shad touched on there that's really important is let yourself get out of the things that got you to where you are. And that sounds weird, right? But let yourself get out of that headspace so that you can start to elevate and think a little bit more strategically about what you're doing and think more about developing your team and working with them in different ways. So I think that's a really, really good
and
point.
And one thing I'd like to point out too is like understanding that leadership is an action. You know, it's literally an action, it's not a job. So there's always gonna be eyes on you when you're a leader. There's always gonna be eyes on you waiting for that next mistake, and it's gonna happen at some point. But just owning it, and it's okay. But just remember that leadership is an action. It's not a position.
I love that. John, how about you from a challenges and opportunities kind of perspective? What are you seeing right now in your space?
Yeah, I think oftentimes, you know, you're talking about, everyone wants to talk about the labor issue. And I think, you know, everyone has their different opinions. One of the things that I actually recently just heard this put in a different way, just on Thursday, about, you know, whether you call it a labor crisis or not, is that what did happen during COVID and during lockdown is that this, a huge portion of the workforce were told that they did not matter, either by their bosses, by the government. They're like, you don't matter. Go home. We don't need you. And now these people are coming out, or they're not. They're staying at home. Other people are taking care of them financially. And so now we have these employees that are coming to us, and whether it's their first job since COVID or their first job ever, now we have to, in a very short amount of time, show them and prove to them that we think they matter. And I think that's the hardest thing, because they're not going to care about us. They're not going to care about the job if they don't feel like we care about them. And that's where, like, you know, we're always trying, whether it's onboarding or interviewing process, specifically going like, how can we in the short amount of time, like it doesn't, like saying that, like you care as a human, not just a warm body. Like, we hire for people to, like, one of the questions that the managers have to answer before they hire somebody is that, is this person going to make it easier or harder to take care of the rest of my team members? And that's where it comes down to, is it all comes down to people, is all your decisions you have to make, which sometimes are a lot of decisions, is like, is this going to be able to help me take, is this going to help or hurt me taking care of my team?
Go a little deeper on that. So I want to know, like, is there one kind of concrete example that you all kind of have put in place to help you do that faster, right? Because relationships, ultimately, they take time. Like, and we'll talk about that later in a different thing, but how do you do that? How do you tactically say, okay, I need to make sure that person feels like they matter?
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of it is on our onboarding. It's specifically, like, they come in for a couple hours in our training program. We have videos and pictures, bios, seeing our support team, our owners. They get to see my face a lot, which is sometimes that may make them not want to stay with our company. But unfortunately, there's no other option. So, but it's just the little tiny things. It's like, you know, our training platform's on their phone. Their managers, there's dead space in the onboarding process, where the manager could run off and go do other things if they have to in an emergency. But they're specifically trained, and we're telling them, like, get to know this person. Like, talk to them. Get to know. You just only spent, like, an hour or two max before you brought them on board. So, like, ask them what their likes or dislikes are. Like, you know, we're giving them a tour. They're getting to meet people. And, like, we're walking, like, today and, like, this week, we're walking around, we're seeing all this, all the different ways that we can throw money into the car wash. And it's whether it's the newest, shiniest piece of equipment or whatever. And at the end of the day, like, the equipment, anybody can do the equipment. Anybody can. And it's the people that makes your company separate, different. And so it's one of those things that we tell our employees, our managers know exactly of, like, hey, not only, like, this person is, we're not trying to hire somebody just to solve a problem. Like, this person is, like, we're investing in this a lot of money. We break down the exact cost of how long it, like, how much it costs to have someone with us for 2 weeks, and that helps that balance. But you're, like, you're getting to know this person. This person is being welcomed into the family. So
nice. Very helpful. Very helpful. So if you all have not watched what we do on a consistent basis, or don't listen to the podcast, one of the things that we really focus on is one key takeaway every time you're doing something with us. So I hope that as we continue to have these conversations, you'll get that one key takeaway. There's lots of opportunities on the show floor to get key takeaways. Guess what? It only takes one to pay for the trip that you took to be here. So super valuable stuff. If you've got questions, get them kind of queued up in your brain, and we'll do those here in a minute or two. But I want to hear from Iona. What are some of the challenges you've kind of seen, or what are you really working on?
I think in the full service flex world, my biggest challenge, and it will always be the biggest challenge in that world, is labor cost. And so it's, you know, hiring people and getting the right people in, but it's more so about balancing how many people you have to have on staff and to pay to be there to clean the interiors of vehicles. It's flexible scheduling, like I talked about. It's over communication with the employees from the very before they're even hired. We tell them this job is going to be weather dependent. If we're not cleaning the interior of cars and we don't have anything else for y'all to clean, we're probably going to have to cut your hours. But we live in Colorado. I'm from Colorado. And so with the rising minimum wage and trying to balance having 30 people on staff, and when they come in and balance that with how many interior car washes we get, I would say that's been a huge challenge.
What do you is there anything that you're doing that's really helping in that space? Anything that you've put in place that works?
I think honestly, it's just about over communication with the employees, and that sounds so simple, but if you have employees that understand what you're trying to do and they understand that maybe you're gonna need to cut them for the day because it's snowing outside, and they understand that, then they're not going to be walking away. You're not going to have to hire new people, and you're not gonna have a big turnover ratio. And so it's really about over communication. There's not much else. I mean, building value in the car wash besides money, I think, and like exactly what John talked about is trying to build value with these employees so we're not overpaying them for what they're doing, but also showing them that we care and that they matter, like John said.
Love it. Let's take a little bit of a shift here. So those are some great challenges and opportunities that we just talked about, but let's take a little bit of a shift back about you all. Right, because you guys are on the stage, we get to talk about you. Talk to me a little bit about, let's go down to Shad. Talk to me about what's been really helpful for you in your growth as a manager in this industry.
Reaching out to old coaches of mine that I've wrestled for or played football for, and them just give me advice, personal advice that they've done and how they've managed their football teams, our wrestling teams, things like that. Talking to other people in the industry, networking out here and meeting other people in the car wash industry and having some one-on-one time with them and just seeing what's working for them, what's not working for them. That's helped me a ton. Reading different leadership books and then our teams reading books together as a unit has really helped us. But for me, I think just being out here and networking and learning about the car wash industry and seeing that there's other people facing the same challenges that I'm facing and that I'm not alone, and asking for help where help is needed is not a weakness. It's just trying to become a better version of yourself. So I just think constant communication with other people in the industry, reaching out to people that you know that are in leadership roles, coaching, people that you admire and see the things that they're doing, how they're doing it. That's helped me a ton in my career.
Yeah, you will never know if they will share if you don't ask.
Yeah.
Right? It's easy.
I think people want to share.
Yeah.
They have ideas. They want to share it with you. They want to help you become the best version of yourself. And sometimes you just got to ask.
John, how about you? What's been helpful for you?
Yeah, I would say two main things. One, of course, the networking, everything that you can learn at events like this and the connections you make and, like, you know, ask the conversations that you have afterwards is very important. But one of the things I've been noticing a lot and we've been pushing a lot, like, that's at Camel is that I think there's, if you had to just look at it, one thing for like a deciding factor on whether a manager is going to last or not is, and one thing that's helped with my success is having a stable stable support system outside of work in the car wash system. And I think that's forgotten so much. I mean, we're here. None of us here are strangers to the 50, 60, 70 hour work week. And that's where, at the end of the day, like, this is just a job. This should not be our life. And I know that, like, things, I tell people, I'm like, and that's, unfortunately, that's something that, you know, your workplace can't help you with that. And that's something we're pushing our managers to is, like, you know, there's a men's group. There's people I meet with. Like, there's people, like, that aren't connected to work that I can, you know, express things or they can call me out on my crap. Or, you know, whether it's, you know, you go regularly throw axes, you know, axe throwing, or, you know, your cycling or exercise or something outside of work that has nothing to do with work on a consistent basis, that you can talk to other people that, you know, don't live, breathe, and sleep like car washing, is, I think, something that's extremely helpful and that's really been beneficial for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Iona, how about you?
I think the number one thing that has made me the best manager I can be, and the number one thing I would tell anyone, is do everything that your employees do. Do everything that you ask your employees do. There is nothing that a manager should be too high up to do, right? I'm back there cleaning towels, right? I'm in the trenches every single week cleaning out the tunnel, not because I have to, but because I want to. It builds credibility, number one. It teaches you things every single day. And I think if an employee comes to me with a pain, right, and they say, oh, you know, we'll stick with laundry. The laundry machine isn't spraying water to rinse the towels. A, I might already know about it, and B, if I don't, they don't have to sit there and explain to me how the machine works before we can get to a solution, right? We move right on to a solution. And so I think it's being there, cleaning cars, making sure that you're in it with your employees.
I love that advice. Yeah, it really is, at the end of the day, it's a team. Like, we're all on the same team, and we're trying to go to the same thing, so right. Why can't you be just as much in the trenches with them when you need to be, right?
Yeah.
Do we have any questions from the gallery here? So we've got one in the back. I don't think we've got a mic here, so I'm going to run one. We've got a runner coming back in the back corner here. I just ask that when you ask your question, that you tell us who you are and where you're from.
Hello. Hi, my name is Danny Brown. I am from Michigan. I'm a district manager of a car wash company. And my question is, how do you implement your long-term goals in your day-to-day operations? Because there's so much going on, so many moving parts. So how are you making sure you're planning for tomorrow in your day-to-day operations?
Who wants to start that one? All right, Chad.
I think it's just breaking it down to a small piece. Long vision, big goals. How can you control it? It's day-to-day consistency. If you say you want to do X amount of vehicles, how do you get there? There's a really good book called The Art of War, and I recommend you read that. And it talks about how you break things down into smaller pieces in order to gain the long goal and to win the war.
That's great.
Do you guys
Thank
have
you.
Anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I would say in just a nutshell is plan for the best, or expect the best, but plan for the worst. That's the thing, is have contingencies of like, okay, if this, what's the worst thing possible that can happen that could completely derail this, and how to plan for that. And I think, and also like what I was saying before, is involve other people in your plans. When you try to do things by yourselves, when you try to do it without proper, you know, you have organizational tools, whatever happens to be, everyone has different opinions on that. Find the right one that works best for you, whether it's digital or paper, and have other people to hold you accountable. That's going to be the best way you're going to succeed.
I would say delegate. We have a lot of really wonderful big picture ideas, right? We've got a lot of district managers and stuff. Delegate, because your employees can do so much more than you think that they can. And even if they fail, you have learned, you know, what's the Thomas Edison quote, right? It's, I can't remember it right now. But even if they fail, you probably would have failed too when you were trying that way anyway. So might as well let them try and help you reach that goal, because they also want to reach that goal with you. And so delegate and trust your employees to do some of it.
Yeah, one of the things too is like, one of the easiest way, it comes back to this consistency conversation, right? Keep that why in the day-to-day. Like, just even if it's just your statement, what's your purpose? So that you can tie back to that, because people, when they know the why and they understand the why and they believe in the why, they're much more likely to execute on the things that feel like, well, I don't want to do that today. That seems like something that doesn't make any sense. But if they know that because they do that, they can deliver superior service every single time, that's a different conversation as you think about how that works. Any other questions from the gallery? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Just kidding. You can ask questions anytime you want. I have one more question that I like to end with. So this one is one of my favorite ones because I like to lean into this idea that this is a people business and we're all humans.
Yep.
What is one thing that I can do today that will make me better tomorrow? So, and that can be car wash related, that can be just personal life advice. We all need a little bit of that. So who wants to start this one? I feel like we need Jeopardy music when I ask this question because everybody's got to figure it out. Shad, you're up.
Yeah, perfect. I think that leading with love, being a good leader, not a manager, lead your team to success, and just focus on the controllables. But I'd say those things are for me.
Lead with love.
Lead with love. Have empathy with your team. You know, care about your team.
Awesome. John, how about you? One thing today for better tomorrow.
I would just say get to know your people. I was just this morning was reviewing the next couple months of birthdays and anniversaries and making plans and, you know, setting up messages and, you know, having conversations with people. So I think that's, you know, there's all these different opinions and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, maybe you have somebody that's their first time at the show that's with you today, literally right now, and you can be getting to know them better and asking them questions. It comes down to never forget what your first day in the car wash industry was. I like to say this a lot is like, you know, some of us have been doing this for a long time and just don't forget that of like what your very first day was. And maybe there's that person that's with you. This is their first show or they're new to the car wash industry. So get to know them. Just be relational.
Love that. Love that. Iona.
I'll stick with the people trend. And I think it's about development and encouraging employees to the point where even if they don't stay in the industry, because we've got a lot of it where car washing is kind of a transitional job for some people, right? They're transitioning from high school to somewhere else, or they're transitioning and they kind of stumble upon car washing on accident, which is wonderful. And we want them to stay with us, but sometimes they're not going to. So taking this employee today and developing them and encouraging them and helping them find themselves and what they're really passionate about, and then either finding them a space for them in the car wash world or maybe finding a space for them in another world, but just seeing that development, them being better is gonna make tomorrow better no matter what they're doing. And I think that's very important.
Perfect, perfect. That is a lot of great, great takeaways. So I hope you got at least one from this conversation. I aim for like 7. So that way somebody gets one. How about a big round of applause for our panel? Thank you guys so much for being up here and sharing your story.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.